It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Clay Masters. Have you applied for a job recently? Have you needed access to a federal or state agency lately? Chances are, if you have, you've done it online. But many Iowans can't just go to the computer and log on. This legislative session, Governor Terry Branstad has made this issue a priority. He's calling it the Connect Every Iowan Act. And it's an election year. It's a pretty bipartisan effort to get passed. But Democrats who control the Iowa Senate have introduced their bill, modeled after the governor's plan. And Republicans who control the House have introduced the governor's legislation. With me on the show today, Senator Steve Sodders, a Democrat from State Center. It's a tongue twister. Senator Sodders, welcome to the show.
Thank you. And it is a tongue twister.
There you go. It did it to you, too. And Representative Peter County, a Republican from West Des Moines. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thanks, Clay.
We also want to hear from you. Do you have challenges getting internet that makes life more difficult? Call us at 1-866-9100. Tweet us at IPR Talk or Clay_Masters. You can email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. But first, let's get some insight from a couple people who have firsthand experience with broadband. First, Michael Sadler is the Vice President of Government Relations at CenturyLink. He's with us here in the Statehouse Law Library. Michael, welcome to River to River.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So in a nutshell, what does Iowa's coverage map look like?
Well, when you look at Iowa's coverage, it looks pretty good. The Iowa Utilities Board did a broadband survey, I want to say it was about 3 or 4 years ago, and it showed that over 80% of Iowans have access to some sort of broadband connection. The conversation now needs to extend to how do you get to that last 15 to 20%, the most rural of customers that don't have access. And I think that's what these bills that we're going to talk about today are trying to get to.
And without any kind of legislation laying this out, how do you look at it as somebody who works for CenturyLink that this is your day in, day out?
You know, you're right. Our employees wake up every day and we're thinking about broadband. That's our business, what we do. We look at communities on a case-by-case basis, develop a business model on look at a couple of things. How many potential customers are there? What's the competition look like? What's the regulatory environment look like? What's the tax environment look like? Can we make money if we make this deployment? Our business is expensive. Capital outlay, you know, nationally is in the billions. In Iowa, you know, we're looking at between 50 to 100 million each year in new deployments, maintenance of the network, and those kinds of things. So we don't take those decisions lightly as we look to deploy in new areas.
One thing that crosses my mind whenever we talk about technology, you know, a couple years ago I bought a smartphone and now it's almost pretty much out of date. It's almost worthless, it seems like, some days. Is this sometimes I've heard critics say that this is a bit of a moot point in that technology might advance to the point where, you know, a few years down the road we're talking about something completely different that might get technology and internet to people that are out in rural parts of the state.
Well, I don't doubt that's the case. You know, my company, we've been in Iowa for over 100 years. We started as a landline telephone company. We've now become, you know, the broadband company as well as landline telephone. Technology does change, which is, you know, why my company always advocates for light regulation so that we can innovate because things are going to change. I do believe that the foundation for any new technology will be a strong broadband network, which is what we're talking about today.
Also want to bring Jim Patrick in on the conversation. He joins us on phone. He's the city manager in Storm Lake. Jim, welcome to River to River.
Thank you, Clay. Glad to be here.
So give us an idea of what coverage is like in Storm Lake.
Well, Storm Lake is actually in pretty good shape. Probably our slowest service here would be 256 K upload and 5 meg download. We average about 15 megs on a download and 2 meg uploads right now. And so we're, compared to other rural parts of Iowa, we're actually in pretty good shape.
So what's led to you to be in such good shape? Was there a time when it wasn't as good?
There was, and it was before I got here, but there was some competition between Mediacom and Nology, now known as WOW, as well as CenturyLink coming in and competing against one another and putting some of the infrastructure in place.
Okay, Representative County, I'm curious to get your insight now here. Tell us a little bit about what the governor's bill would do for addressing this issue.
Yeah, so the governor has proposed a bill, and I think we should first diagnose the problem. And I think you've kind of done that pretty well, Clay. It's basically we're trying to help out Iowans, and there are also some urban areas, too, that we're talking about. There's urban and rural areas that are underserved in terms of, you know, I just call it simply internet access. So why is that a problem? Number one, I think it's simply put, the internet is a way of life right now for Iowans. You use it at home, use it at work. And then you get to the second issue, work, economic development. We need internet access for businesses to locate in Iowa, rural and urban. So I think that's, you know, what the governor's trying to get at in terms of House Study Bill 515, the Connect Every Iowan Initiative. So that's kind of where we're at, and we're trying to work with the internet providers throughout the state in making it worthwhile. Are there incentives to be able to do that? And that's kind of where we're at right now in the process. The bill passed out of the House subcommittee last week, Commerce subcommittee.
So what would it incentivize then?
Right now, well, that's kind of the difference that Senator Sodders and I can discuss where it's at in the process right now. Right now, there's a property tax incentive. Should a CenturyLink, for example, build out in the governor's bill from basically it's somewhat convoluted, but they basically would build out from an ICN endpoint to be able to reach Iowans in a rural community. They wouldn't have a property tax on that build out.
And when you talk about ICN, quick, let's define that for people that might not be sure what that is.
The Iowa Communications Network, it's basically what is used at many public institutions throughout the state.
So schools, libraries, these
schools,
kinds of
schools, community colleges, libraries, some hospitals, they use the ICN.
And Senator Sodders, how would the bill, or how does the bill in the Senate differ from what the governor is proposing?
Well, we have several different things in our bill. Just in the incentives, we have a couple extra incentives that the governor's bill does not have. We have a revolving loan fund along with a property tax. Our property tax is a little different than the governor's, but similar in scope, what we're trying to do. And then an income tax credit. So we have sort of a menu of things, and there could be more as we move along. There are some things that are very similar in both bills. I sat on the task force, the STEM task force. So we took I took most of the recommendations from that, and they were put into the Senate study bill. And I would add to what Representative County said that I look at this as is really twofold. We have both economic development concerns in the rural areas that we want to make sure that we can compete, whether you live in State Center or Des Moines, that if you want to work for a telecommute to Chicago, you can still do that, but still live in one of our great small towns here in Iowa. And on the other side of that is the education piece. Both sides have an education piece. and I think that's really important. I tell the story of my daughter comes home, and she'll be working on the computer at home. We have a good internet at home in State Center, but her friend lives in Lamoille, Iowa, and she doesn't have that same speed. So two girls, same class, doing the same work. One has a better advantage than the other. So we need to work on this so that all kids have the same advantage to have high-speed internet and become global citizens.
At the same time, economic data shows that our rural populations are decreasing. Representative County, this could be incentive for more people to move to West Des Moines. Why is it important if we are seeing – is this really going to be something that harnesses more economic development in populations that are losing citizens?
Well, in general, I think urban Iowa will only be as strong as rural Iowa is, and rural Iowa will only be as strong as urban Iowa is. And, you know, Iowans will make that choice on their own in terms of where they want to live. But one of the examples that came up in our first meeting was Representative Orth, who's a state representative from Warren County. He spoke about, and he lives in rural Warren County, how he doesn't have good internet coverage at his own home. You know, it's very telling. And So this affects everyone in our state, and so that's kind of what we're trying to get at here.
Michael Sadler, when we talk about the tax incentives that this creates for other companies, Does this create kind of a competition among people from outside the state that maybe haven't put as much effort and time and money into building access for internet in Iowa that puts you at a disadvantage maybe?
Well, you know, my company, as I said, we've been here for decades and we've invested, you know, $1 billion in the state. We're happy to do that. I don't know that I can speak to whether these bills encourage folks to come from outside the state to compete. It might not, if that's really an answer. I do know that anything that can be done to decrease the cost of deployment will be helpful as we're looking at expanding our coverage areas.
What's your thought? Give us a call, 1-866-9100, tweet us at IPR Talk, or email us at rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. We're going to go to the phones right now. We have Ed from Martinsdale. Ed, you're on River to River.
Hey, thank you. Good afternoon. I try to run a small business out here in rural Iowa at the end of a really poor DSL line. I have no competition whatsoever, so they have no incentive in upgrading me. I also have one of the largest fiber optic lines running through my property that I give a cashless easement to go through here. I'm wondering about the ICN. Is it, since it goes so many places, it's such a big tube, it's got we've paid for it. Would it be possible to stick up a high-speed wireless tower in each of the county seats and give us some line of sight high-speed wireless? And skip the idea of running more fiber optic out here in the country. Is anybody looking at that in either of your two plans?
Senator Sodders?
Yeah, good question, Ed. And in our the Senate side bill, we leave a lot of things open. We want to deploy in any way that can be deployed to the rural areas that's obviously cost-effective for the company and we can get it out there. And I think and I believe that's in part of the governor's bill, too, is that we've left some of that language and future technology open. If it's Wi-Fi, great. If it's white space, great. If it's something else, we're all for it because we want to get it out to folks. We want it to be reliable and we want it to be cheap for those customers so that everybody can have access. So I think we're very open to all that. And I think you'll see that in both bills.
Representative County?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, that's something that we need to work on, and in turn, you know, that'll get down to nitty gritty in terms of cost and incentive, and how we can do that, and how will that compare to what, you know, the idea from connecting just from the ICN to what that is, and those incentives that Senator Sodders brought up. I think that's gonna, when it gets down to it, that's what we're gonna be negotiating, and hopefully come up with a good bill to where it really is meaningful to Iowans and to providers to use the program.
Michael Sadler, how do you come at this as an internet provider?
I think both the bills that we're talking about stay technology neutral in terms of how you deploy broadband, which I think is a good thing.
That light regulation, right? Going back to what you were saying earlier.
Exactly. You know, I do know that, you know, wireless and line of sight technology does have, you know, some limitations. So in terms of, do you focus on that rather than a hard line, fiber line? You know, that's up to each individual, I guess, customer and community.
We want to go now to David in Dubuque. David, you're on River to River.
Hi, thank you. My hometown, Winthrop, Iowa, they're served by the East Buchanan Telephone Cooperative. And basically, they made a change that was effective December 25th to basically price their home DSL internet as well as their wireless line of sight offering in a way that's very similar to how cell phone companies price their internet. So, for example, to get 5 gigabytes of data a month, it's $24.95 a month. All the way up to 100 gigabytes of data a month will run you $300 a month. And each additional gigabyte that you exceed, that you go over, regardless of which plan you're on, it's an extra $5 a gigabyte. And so for me personally, I live in Dubuque now, but for me personally, my internet bill, if I lived in Winthrop because of how much I work from home, would be right around $975 a month. And that's for a 3 megabit connection. And here in Dubuque, I have a 30 megabit connection. And I understand, you know, the economies of scale are quite different. And the telephone cooperative has basically said the reason why they're doing this is because of the lost subsidies that they were receiving from the Universal Service Fund that's now been reallocated. And they're not really eligible for much of that new subsidy. And they've also said that the governor's proposal also won't help them because they already have 3 megabit DSL that they can actually serve speeds significantly faster than 3 megabits with the hardware and the lines they already have. So there's not really any anything in the governor's bill that would help them provide service at a more affordable rate. So I guess I just wanted to get your guys' thoughts on, you know, not only making sure people have access to high-speed internet, but also access to affordable internet.
I would comment. I mean, I think this is what we're trying to get at. $975 a month for internet access is just, I mean, who can afford that, first of all, as an Iowan? And that's exactly what we wouldn't want to happen with the effect of this bill. I was speaking to another representative about this, and he made the comment, and who's going to pay $180 a month for their internet access? So that's a question that we're trying to get at, and I brought it up at the first meeting we had. You know, what isn't, you know, when we get down to the real details on this for an Iowan, what are they going to pay for this a month? Is it going to be competitive with what someone like me who lives in West Des Moines, what my wife and I pay for our internet access a month? So that's what we're trying to figure out, and waiting to get answers on that. But, yeah, I appreciate your concerns and what we're trying to do here.
Senator Sauters?
Yeah, and I think what folks need to know, too, is that there's a lot of fiber in the ground. And even if you put up a wireless system, you have to have fiber in the ground. It's not just you put up a tower, and I think people think it goes out to space, comes back down. That's not really how it works. It goes from a tower down in the ground to another tower. So you have to have the backbone. You have to have that infrastructure. And then how do we get that the cheapest, best way out to the rural areas, and some it may be wireless, and then some it may not. That is definitely things we need to figure out in both these bills to make sure that we make it cost-effective so that every Iowan, again, can have good access, good speeds, both for business and education.
Well, and how are we defining an underserved area?
Well, a couple of ways. And underneath the governor's bill, they have it at, I believe, 15 on the upload, 50 on the download. In the Senate bill, we left that open to rule, and in part because it's a little hard to tell. But we've had meetings in the last couple of weeks, and it's been suggested that for every 1 megabit of upload, you have 10 megabits download. And the base really ought to be around 3 to 5 on the upload, and then 30 to 50 on the download. And we're going to be working, Peter and I, we've already pledged to work together. We're going to be working more on this bill to try to figure out what's the correct number, what's the right number. But we also need to leave it open enough so that we can be future forward on all the different technologies that might come next.
I want to go to the phones again. Aaron in Applington is on the line. Aaron, you're on River to River.
Hi, I'm so happy to hear this topic being covered. Where I live outside of Applington, and my only option for internet is Verizon's Home Fusion, which is a 4G technology, but I pay $90 a month for 20 gigs of data a month. And part of the reason I'm in such an area is I'm literally at the convergence of three telecoms. If I lived across the street one direction, I would be, you know, served by CenturyLink. If I lived across the street the other direction, I would be served by a co-op out of Wellsburg. And I'm literally probably 1,000 feet from being able to get DSL. And as a remote employee, you know, I took a job. I love being remote. I can stay where I want to live. But, you know, having that limitation means I can't stream video. I can't, you know, I have to watch how much video conferencing I do. I have to constantly manage my data. Because like an earlier caller said, yeah, if you go over that, it's very expensive. And that's my biggest issue, and I'm glad to see this being addressed. But, yeah, it's a very small percentage of us. And, you know, I would like to see more incentives for the companies to expand their coverage, however that is. I've been told, like, providers, find us 10 customers and we'll come put up a tower. Why should that be my requirement as a customer to go find 10 other customers just so I can get a better coverage?
So you're saying this is impacting your job performance or what you can get done because you're trying to micromanage the time that you're spending online?
Yeah. I mean, anybody that's got an unlimited bandwidth connection, yes, they have caps, but they're caps of 200 to 300 gigabytes, and they're paying about $50 a month. And so I'm paying a much higher price for a much inferior product, and that's very frustrating.
Okay, thanks, Aaron. Senator Sodders, you were nodding there.
Yeah, Aaron, I think you're probably the target audience. I think a lot of what we're trying to figure out is how do we get companies to expand out to the last mile. There's a lot of backbone in Iowa. Whether you want to come off the ICN points, whether you want to come off of private provider areas. But it is, we have to make it somewhat cost effective for the private providers to get out to that last mile. And some have said, you know, they need 20 customers to make it a profitable venture for them to branch out that last mile. So that is a huge piece of what we're trying to figure out. How do we get these companies to expand to the last mile?
Representative County.
Right. And I agree. And what we're looking at here, when you're talking about 1,000 feet, and what we're trying to do here is, so those 1,000 feet, and say a business is looking to locate there, and they're not going to go to that endpoint where they won't be able to have good internet access. So, you know, you should win or lose getting that business based on other factors. If we can level this out, that's a good thing. And I think that is the kind of the overall goal of this bill.
And Michael Sadler, when you hear somebody talking about the struggles that they have in those parts of the state, how do you come at the issue from there?
Well, I think, Aaron, you're highlighting the reason that we have these two bills that we're talking about this year. As I said earlier, it's an expensive business. A rural customer is even more expensive. My company, we serve big cities and small towns like where you live. And it's obviously more expensive to serve someone that's off the beaten path than it is to serve someone that's in downtown Des Moines, for example. So I would just say, as we work on these two bills, Aaron, you're the reason that we need to make sure that we're thinking boldly. Incentives need to be probably bigger rather than smaller. We probably need to step out of the box and be bold thinkers on this issue.
So how do we mold the two bills together and move forward then if this is something that everybody seems to be able to agree on?
Well, right now we have there's a deadline here in 2 weeks. So I think something I would assume both will probably get out of their respective committees in the House and Senate, and then we'll go from there.
Senator Sodders, will I hear an echo now when I ask you the same question?
Well, and I always believe in that we need to work together, and as I said, Representative County and I will be working closely as the weeks go on, and I believe we will have a bill at the end of the day.
Okay. Representative County, Senator Sodders, Michael Sadler, thanks so much for joining us on River to River today.
Thanks, Clay.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.